thank you, Collegiate Singers, and they're always a blessing. Wasn't the presentation to Serbia a blessing?
Amen.
Did you feel anything in here?
Amen.
I don't know how God's people can sit through presentations like last night and tonight and not feel the tug of God on your hearts. That's a blessing. Who is doing the singing at the end of the tape? Okay, wasn't you. Too bad. My sister called me early this morning, and she's crying, and she's 89 years old, and she gets our CDs from the church, and she said, "Oh, Bob, last night I listened to you sing with that trio." It's talking about back in the Great Southwest Conference when we sang with the Thorpe brothers. She said it was so beautiful, so wonderful. She said, I just sat there and cried. I said, my singing affects a lot of people like that, hon. And but she's not really a judge of singing. Things that touch her heart. She cries over the Geico commercials. She feels sorry for the lizard. They ought not treat that little thing like that. It's awful. Sis, that's a commercial. It's not real. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's sad. Serbia was a part of Yugoslavia. I believe when Yugoslavia broke up, it divided into three or two? Seven. And Croatia was once a part of it. Serbia. Okay. Now, the disagreement came over the Yugo. How many remember the Yugo, the disposable car by Yugoslavia? If it had a flat, you didn't fix it, you threw it away. If you run into a street sign, you threw it away. You couldn't fix it. That was a blessing. Thank you. And it is a joy to have again tonight our special speaker, Brother Mark Haynes, missionary to the Navajo people there in the Four Corners region on the Navajo Reservation. And wasn't that a blessing last night? And by the way, Brother Haynes, Sunday night will preach the victory service, and he'll also have his presentation to us on Sunday night. So be mindful of that. Brother Haynes, we love you. We're glad you're here. Come and preach, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Dad. Oh, man. By the way, I combed it, too. I know it doesn't look like it, but I did. Every time I see a presentation by a missionary, I want to go. I want to go. I want to reach people that have never, ever heard the gospel. You might say, well, Brother Haynes, then why would you go to the Navajo Nation? Because everybody in America has heard the gospel. There are folks down the street from you that have never heard the gospel. I want to say something to you tonight, and preacher echoed this earlier today. I thank God for a missions conference. I hope that this church will increase its giving to missions. But if this church gave $1 million to missions, that does not in one way abrogate your responsibility and my responsibility to go next door and down the street and win people to Jesus. You can't pay enough money to get rid of that responsibility. I like it that we're in this thing together. When I first went to Navajo country, I was helping my dear friend Ron Burning, who at the time pastored Glory Land Baptist Church in Gallup, New Mexico. Gallup, New Mexico is Drunk Town, USA. There have been stories written about it. People die every year by the railroad tracks, run over by trains because of the evils of alcohol and the wickedness that it brings. And I remember going to a place called Twin Lakes, and a friend of mine, Brother Burl LaForme, who was an Ojibwe Indian, was making a visit inside a house, and it was around Christmas time, and there was a little boy that out there playing in the yard, and I began to talk with him, and I said, "Man, it's Christmas." He said, "Yeah, well, it's Christmas, and I can't wait to see what I get." And they had nothing. This family had nothing. No electricity, no running water, good outhouse, matched the house. You can tell an upscale Navajo when you've got an outhouse that's painted the same color as the main house. I told that little boy, I said, "You know, Christmas is somebody's birthday." He said, "Is it your birthday?" I said, "No, it's not my birthday. Do you know whose birthday it is on Christmas?" He said, "No. Whose birthday is it?" I said, "It's Jesus' birthday." And I will never forget, that little boy looked at me with a sincerity and a quizzical look on his face and said, "Mister, who is Jesus?" First Americans still not having a clear presentation of the gospel. Just a couple of years ago, my good friend Ron Burning up on the Six Nations Reserve took a bunch of men. I couldn't go on the trip. Went to work with the Mi'kmaq Indians up in Newfoundland. A group of people who had never one time had the gospel in North America. And they got permission from the tribal council. They went around the Catholic priest. By the way, they've got Catholicism, but they've never had the gospel. And they preached to those people. And a bunch of them got saved. And two or three of those couples went to the Catholic priest and said, "You've been lying to us all these years. Jesus wants to save us. It's not the Pope, it's Jesus." And I want to tell you, just like in Serbia, there's a tremendous need in Bolivia and all the countries represented here. Thank God for Thomas and Kim reaching indigenous people down in Guatemala. The first peoples in so many countries have been left out and forgotten. There are still Indian tribes in North America where no one has cared enough to go there and take them the Word of God. Folks, there's such a great need. I've got an outline here and I don't even know how to preach it because my heart is so full up tonight. Watching those people in Serbia and just seeing the need that's there. And every missionary this week is going to make that same presentation. Say, "Brother Mark, you can't go all those places." Yes, I can. Through missions. I can go there. I give missions at our church on the reservation, and I give missions here because I want a part of it. I want to be there. That's the way I can go. Man, you may never come out to Navajo country, but the Lord was good to us in January. Had 10 folks saved and baptized at Ganado Baptist Church. It's not because of the great preaching. It's not because of any talent we've got. It's because somebody cared enough to give and someone cared enough to say, "You know what? I'll never go to Navajo country, but maybe I can give and someone else can go." And Navajo people came to Jesus. We had one service. It's not part of the message. This is free. We had one part of a service. Walked in, not a special day. Every Sunday's special. You know that. But walked into church, and there were 30 visitors sitting there. I said, "Who visited them?" Nobody knew. But there was an old man who 30 years ago preached one time at Ganado Baptist Church, and he got out of church and out of the will of God. And he called his family together on a Christmas meeting and said, "Folks, you know what? We've gotten out of church. It's time for us to go back to church." They said, "All right, Dad, we'll go." All 30 of them showed up at Ganado. We had 107 in church that day. Five of them got saved. Bunch of them still coming. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's a need around the world. There's a need around the corner, and we've just got to get involved in it. Let's get open the Bible. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. The Bible says, "In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of." Some of you know exactly what that's talking about, and some of you do not, because you've never tried to personally win someone to Jesus Christ. Get in the water, folks. It's fine. It's fine. "Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." I want to say something to you. The harvest field in Serbia, it's not getting ripe. It's ripe right now. And that man needs to be in Serbia to reap that harvest. The fields are white right now. I'm not talking about next week. There's grain that's going to die and no one's there to harvest it. God help us. It's not God's fault. Nobody's in Serbia. It's our fault. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Father, I don't want to mess up this message. I believe you gave it to me. So, Father, I just pray that you would guide me and lead what I say. Lord, let me be your channel tonight. And, Lord, I pray that you would speak. Lord, don't just speak to everybody here. Speak to my heart tonight. I want to be a better missionary. The Navajos deserve somebody better than me. They deserve help. Lord, they're lost and doomed and undone. Alcohol's killing my folk. Lord, help us tonight to see 4 needs that everyone in this room can fulfill for missions. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are so many ways to get involved in missions, not only in our church, but in other churches around the country. And I just want to give you 4 needs involved in missions. There is not one of these things tonight that I'm going to mention that somebody that anybody in this church cannot fulfill. We're all able to do these things. Number one, in verse 35, there is a need to look. There's a need to look. We as the disciples of Jesus are told to look on the field. Now the problem with a lot of us is we've got blinders on. We've got our little area that we want to look at, but folks, our vision is only limited by us. It's not God's problem if our vision is limited. It's our problem. We need to take the spiritual glasses and start putting these on and start looking at people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We must recognize that the world is a field. As disciples, we must learn to be conscious of the fields in a special need of a gospel witness. Hey, he's going to Serbia. How long is Serbia going to be open to the gospel? Brother Sam, how long is Croatia going to be open to the gospel? We don't have any idea. We don't have time to wait. We've got to go now. We must look with eyes that see the multitudes. We see a world with some 7 billion people in it today. We must see a world that's increasing around 221,000 every day. We must see the great cities of the world with their masses. Mexico City has some 18 million people. By the way, this church has a lot of missionaries they ought to be proud of. Brother Jose Guzman preached last week in a missions conference. I am proud of that young man. Folks, he preached it with power. Little Lighthouse Baptist Church over there in Grand Prairie never had a higher commitment to missions in the history of that young history of that church. That young man has a heart for his people. We ought to be proud that God has that young man out of our church. That boy's a preaching machine. He cracked me, he joking with folks and said, I hate being in a conference with Brother Haynes. Most people do. I understand that. He said, the first time I was in a conference and we were in Burnett, Texas. And here's Brother Haynes. He plays his flute. He can sing. He said, I couldn't sing or dance or do anything like that. I couldn't do any of that stuff. He was always showing me up. But he started talking about some of the phrases I used too. And all my kids say, Dad, you do say that all the time. I'm not going to mention it because it's embarrassing. But I tell you what an honor. He looks at, the reason I mentioned Brother Jose, I'm a little tired of churches saying, you know what, we've got enough missionaries in Mexico. Got enough missionaries in Mexico. I'm going to tell you something. If we took 200 God-called men and threw them down in Mexico City, that would be a drop in the bucket to what's needed. I'm all for having a worldwide mission program, but if God has called somebody and God's in it, let's get on with it. Let's have a part of it. Let's be involved in it. Tokyo has some 28 million people. Sao Paulo, Brazil has about 11 million people. London, England, 7,500,000 people. Tonight I'm wearing an American flag and an Irish flag. I've got Irish heritage. By the way, St. Patrick's Day is coming up. Don't you believe any of the lies the Catholics tell you? St. Patrick was a Bible believer who started churches against the Council of Rome all throughout Ireland. Ireland, England, and Scotland used to send out more missionaries around the world than any other countries. In Scotland right now, less than 11% of the people attend any kind of church at all. And folks, if we lose our vision, if we don't start getting our eyes off of our little R4 and no more, if we don't start looking and seeing the world as a harvest field, then they're going to be talking about America someday, and someone's going to have to start sending missionaries here if we don't take up the cause that God has given us. I mean, look, we got to look. Can't do anything until we look. Seoul, South Korea has some 12 million people. Lima, Peru, about 7.5 million folks. Toronto, Canada, with about 4,600,000. The Ivory Coast has about 20 million people. Serbia with 8 million. Brazil with 200 million. Venezuela with 28 million. Bolivia with some 10 million. Navajo land with some 250,000. I want to tell you something. The need is out there. I love the study of the Civil War. I grew up in the North. I found out all you Southerners had horns. Till I moved to Texas and I got the other side of the story. There was a young Confederate soldier. And they were hunkered down, surrounded by the Union soldiers. And this young boy was tired of sitting. He disappeared. They thought he'd run away. About an hour later, marching through the woods, came about 100 Union soldiers with their hands behind their head. And this little Confederate with one gun marching them in. His commander said, son, where'd you find them? Said, well, Captain, the woods is full of them. Go get some yourself. I'll tell you something, the world's full of them. Say, Brother Mark, I'm sorry, I just don't get it. I don't see what you see. You missionaries must have some kind of special vision. I want to tell you something. The vision's not reserved for missionaries. The vision is the call that God gave us. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. It is so wrong for churches like us. Look, I thank God for what our church is doing, but you understand what I'm saying? It is wrong for churches in America to have all this light while the rest of the world is so covered in darkness. They deserve the same light that we had. We must see the direction of the battle. Missionary statistics say are reaching some 2 million people per year as the population of this world increases somewhere between 50 and 80 million people a year. We must look with eyes that see individuals. They're not statistics. They're individuals with hopes and dreams. They're not just statistics. They're individuals with cares, and problems. Folks, we have no idea how what a blessing it is to come to this church and have a pastor and have a staff that cares about us. We don't know what it's like to be out on a lonely mesa somewhere in the middle of nowhere on the Navajo Nation where nobody cares, where the suicide rate is sky high because they've been told, hey, be a total Indian, but go learn everything from the white man and bring that back. Be a traditional, be progressive. Hey, we've got something that can help them. Got to get beyond just seeing the statistics. We got to look at them. They're individuals with families and loved ones. Just this last week, I got a phone call. Joel said, Dad, it's Webby. Webby's an old man in our church. Most would say he's useless. He used to preach. He preached at Ganado Baptist Church years ago. We can't keep him off the sauce. Can't keep him away from the alcohol. When he gets drunk, he gets what I call stupid drunk. Starts joking and horsing off and saying things like, oh, Brother Mark, I'm going to outlive you. Just a few days ago, they found him half frozen. They were able to get him to the hospital in time to thaw him out. Say, well, Brother Mark, he's just an old drunk Indian. Yeah, I can't help it. I care about it. Just bothers me. So, Brother Mark, you ever get mad at him? Daily. Times I want to wring his neck. There's other times I want to just hug him and say, Webby, you don't have to live like this, man. He's lost 3 sons in the past 2 years, mostly because of alcohol. In those services, we've seen 15 or 20 people get saved. And what a wonderful thing that is. Thank God we've seen people come to Christ at that crisis time. But how much better if that man would say, you know what, I can put away the alcohol, Jesus in my heart. I don't need that stuff. Come to Jesus. But we got to see people that way. We had a kid that comes to our church. His name is Liam. We call him the Liam King. Because his last name is King. Kid is the honoriest kid in our church. He got a John 3:16 tie. It was the best thing ever happened in his life. He says, look at this, preacher. It's John 3:16. Great. What's that say? He came to me the other day. I'm on the platform. We're shaking hands with everybody. He says, hey, preacher, what's your middle name? It's James. Hi, Jamesy. Precious little boy. If you'd seen where he came from, seen the bad house, how he loves to come to church. Hey, look, I read you a bunch of statistics. I like statistics. I think they're good to help us, but we got to look beyond the numbers and see that somewhere in a mountaintop or in a valley or by the ocean or up on a hill, there's a person, a real, live, breathing person who needs you and me. And you say, oh, Brother Mark, I just can't go. All right, but look. Look. They're not just statistics. They're individuals who someday must face the judgment of God. We must look with eyes that see doors closing to the gospel. We must look with eyes that see the clock running down. You know what? I want Jesus to come. I'm looking forward to Him coming. But there's going to be a lot of people who'll spend eternity in hell after Jesus comes. While we've got time. It's the first step. It's the lowest rung of the ladder. My friend, if you've never done it, just pick up a book sometime. Pick up a book about Bolivia, or one about Brazil, or one about Serbia, or one about Venezuela, or pick up a book about Navajo land, or pick up a book about Guatemala. Just pick up a book about the Ivory Coast. Just look and look at the faces of people lost and undone. Get away from the fellow. Well, it's their fault. No, it may be their fault that they're lost, but it's our fault for not looking and seeing the need. We've got to look. Number two, there's a need to pray. Prayer recognizes that the people we have looked on are in need of salvation. Prayer recognizes that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. Someone was talking to me last night, said, Brother Mark, sometimes I witness to people and they just don't listen. Listen, that's because Satan has blinded the eyes. And folks, we can't reach people without the power of God opening eyes to spiritual truth. Boy, it's good when it happens. I mean, when you go and you present the gospel, I'm going to tell you about Ryan Nez. What a good young man. Working with our teenagers now. 1 year ago, he was a useless alcoholic. Now he's on fire for God, attending our Bible Institute, loving Jesus, wanting to reach people for Christ. Loves his preacher. Loves the Lord. The woods are full of Ryan Nez that haven't been reached yet. It takes prayer. Prayer must be made on a consistent basis. Prayer must be made specifically for God to send forth laborers. We've got to have such a burden in our heart. My friend, if God burdens you for any of these countries, one of the best things you can do after you look is pray that God would open up doors to send more laborers into the field. I'm excited whenever I hear someone say, Brother Mark, I'm praying about going to Indian country. You say, Brother Mark, Indian country is so small. There are 110 chapters on the Navajo Nation. That's the small form of government. All of them ought to have a gospel witness. We need to pray. By the way, let me echo this, and I know every missionary will agree with me. Prayer, even though financial support's important, prayer is more important than financial support. I didn't bring it with me. I wish I had it. I've got in a bag at my house a horn that belongs to a bull. Years ago, I was driving home from a meeting with Michaela. There was about a 1,500-pound bull walking across the highway. It's open range where we live. I looked up and saw the bull, and I said to myself, Self, you can outrun the bull. I had a little Isuzu pickup truck at the time. God forgave me for that. So I hit the gas. Problem is, there was some other idiot coming the other direction, and he wanted the bull to move. So he laid on the horn, and the bull lurched into my lane. I sideswiped him. My mirror was gone on the side of my truck. Michaela woke up and said, Dad, is everything all right? Everything was all right except for the big wet spot under me. I was scared half to death. I drove onto the house shaking. I pulled into the driveway and started trying to open up the door to my truck. Wouldn't open. I said, I sideswiped it. What happened? Rolled down the window and looked. In the fender of my truck was a horn. Somewhere on the Navajo Nation walks a bull with a mirror on the side of his head looking for me. He's got my mirror. I've got his horn. I used to carry that horn to churches, and I would pull it out and I'd say, thanks for praying. Say, Brother Mark, you did that to get a laugh. It's funny, but I'm serious. There have been times we should have been gone. There were times that some of our people said, Brother Mark, there's got to be a skinwalker who's witching you and your family. These things wouldn't be happening. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. There's some places on the reservation that I won't go by myself. But I want to tell you something. I'm not scared of the skinwalker. I'm not scared of Monster Slayer. I'm not scared of ever-changing woman. The Navajos talk about ever-changing woman. They can have the ever-changing woman. I've got the never-changing God. And my God can whip their God, so I'm not worried about their God. But I'm so glad that somebody prays for this missionary. There's a whole hallway. Hallways of letters. You can help yourself, my friend. Just go look at those letters and just find something to pray about. Maybe there's a, you know, sometimes I think that people say, well, the missionaries put the names of these people in here. How are we supposed to remember how to pray for them? Hey, someone remembered, buddy, to pray for you when you were on the way to hell. Get a notebook and write some names down and go to God in prayer. Prayer is the second step. Third, there's a need to send. Sending is the responsibility of the local church. It's not the mission board. It's not a denomination. It is a local church responsibility. I want to tell you something. I pastor a little Navajo church in Ganado, Arizona. And my prayer is that God will call men out of our church, not just to go to the Navajo Nation, though that's what I want. I want to see them going to Brazil. I want to see them go to Serbia. I want to see them go to Bolivia. I want to see them go to Japan. I want to see them go around the world because the need is global. It is selfish for churches to keep their better workers at home. So, Brother Martin, what are you going to do if God takes all your best workers and sends them to Bible college or sends them to some other place? I'm just going to keep going and finding some more. They're out there. God knows what we need. Churches should encourage the call of missionaries. This doesn't mean we're supposed to play God or the Holy Spirit. It simply means, listen, talk to these missionaries. We go to all kinds of churches. Some churches do not encourage their kids to go to the mission field. Brother True Hawkins told me about two preachers who told two young couples, you may feel like you're called to Brazil, but you shouldn't go. Just write anathema across the front of that mess. Man, we ought to be encouraging our people to go. Molda's son will be here tomorrow night, Lord willing. Matt's going to come down and see us. He wants to go to Syria. Not Serbia, Syria. I'm going to get that right, brother. In Syria, they hate Christians. They want to behead Christians. Say, Brother Mark, how's that make you feel as a dad? How do you think it makes me feel? Say, well, you're a strong missionary. You probably don't have any fears. Yeah, I got fears. I got fears. And he's met a young lady that wants to spend the rest of her life with him, and she knows where he's going. She wants to go there with him. Say, Brother Mark, what are you going to tell him? I'm going to tell him to go. I'd rather have him in the midst of what the world calls danger, in the middle of the will of God, than stay in America where God doesn't want him to be. There's safety in being in the will of God. Folks, we got to stay a church that keeps that fire hot, that gets excited about young men and young women saying, I'll go. Say, but Brother Mark, there's a need here. Yes, there is a need here. And while we're here, we ought to keep working and ought to keep winning. But as we do that, let's expand the ministry. Let's go around the world. Let's not hold back. Jesus is coming. You teenagers in here tonight, I know God's not going to call every one of you to be a missionary, but every one of you that hasn't done it, you ought to come to this altar and you ought to tell your pastor and say, preacher, I don't know if God will ever call me to the mission field, but I told God tonight I'm willing to go if he calls me. Every one of you. Well, Brother Mark, we don't want to get them all emotional. I'm not talking about emotion for crying out loud. I'm talking about following simply the will of God. We were in a situation where we didn't know where we were going to live on the reservation. We'd lived for 10 years in Steamboat Canyon, Arizona. We had no place to go. We were planning on moving on Brother Noble's church site, and that didn't work out. And the land site where we were, the lady said, you're going to have to move off. Said, you've got till May. We didn't have a place to go. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really believed that God wanted us in Navajo country, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to move to Gallup, New Mexico. There are good missionaries there. I really believe that God wanted us on the Arizona side. I was convinced of that. God put a thought in my mind of Ireland, because Ireland needs the gospel. I wrestled with that. And I bowed my heart one night to God and said, Lord, I thought you wanted me to stay in Navajo country for the rest of my life, but if you want me to go to Ireland, I'll go to Ireland. God said, that's good, son. Because you said that, you're staying in Navajo country. So, Brother Mark, why would God play that game? God wasn't playing a game. God was looking at me saying, son, have I got all of you? Are your dreams my dreams or are they yours? Are you willing to go where I tell you? I finally gave it. All right, God, I'll go to Ireland. He said, all right, you don't have to go. Stay in Navajo country. Praise God, I'm still where God wants me to be. Brother Mark, couldn't you pastor a bigger church? I don't know. Never have. I don't know if I could. I couldn't pastor here. There's too many white folks here. You scare me half to death. Not enough Navajos here. I'm where God wants me to be. So, Brother Mark, young person, you might say, well, Brother Mark, I've surrendered to the mission field, but I believe God wants me to be a doctor or be a police officer. God has, listen, that if that's your call, you do what God wants you to do. That is first class when you do whatever God says. We need folks who will give faith promise and start churches in America so that others can go around the world. All I'm saying, kids, hear me out. All I'm saying, just surrender to it. Just tell God you'll go anywhere and He'll take you places you never dreamed of. I work with Indians. It's cool. I don't have to wear those nasty ties you all do. I get to wear a bolo. This is the tie in heaven. Say, Brother Mark, how do you know that? Study the original language. The Book of Concordance. Check it out. I mean, I get to hang out in Indian country. People call me pastor. Some people think I'm a good preacher. You say, they don't know much. Don't tell them any different. I'm so glad that I grew up in a church that said to go. Sending involves creating or establishing an attitude of excitement about missions. Sending involves being financially involved in missions. Hey, folks, I thank you for giving. Because you give, folks like me are able to do the work. You think, well, the church won't miss the little bit. I've got to cut back. Hey, you don't have to cut back. You can increase your giving because it's not dependent on what you have. It's dependent on what God has. Thank you. So, Brother Mark, that's a big commitment. Yes, it is. Sending's the third step. Lastly, this. There's a need to go. There is a need to go. The call to go is the sovereign call of God. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship created unto all good works. God creates individuals to do specific jobs in His plan. God loves you and calls you according to His will. God does not call you based on human talent. Boy, I'm so glad. Brother Thomas and I are so glad that it doesn't take talent. Aren't we, brother? At least you are. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, God's not. The only ability that He's looking for is availability. You say, well, Brother Mark, I could never learn another language. Of course you couldn't, but God can enable you. I could never go to a culture I'm not familiar with. Of course you couldn't, but God can enable you. I mean, the call to go. Folks, let me tell you something. Being a missionary, it's the greatest adventure on earth. I wouldn't trade places with anybody. It's great. It's a joy. Missionaries, let me say this. We need to be really careful. We need to be careful about what we say. I never lie to people. I never say, come to Indian country. It's easy. It's not easy. But some missionaries make it, oh, I'm serving God. Oh, I sure do, preacher. You've read this prayer letter, haven't you? Dear preacher, I hate these people. I hate this culture. I've got 10 cars broken down. I've never done that. I've only had 5 at one time. Got 10 cars broken down. My wife wants to leave me. My kids are a train wreck. And thank you so much for your monthly support. Hey, missionaries, let me tell you something. Shut up the griping. Just hush the griping up. Well, Brother Mark, don't you ever go through a hard time? You talking about this week? Yeah, we go through hard times. But I want to tell you something. The hardest time I have here on earth, the Bible says, will seem like a small thing when I'm with Him. I can endure that. If I got a need, I'll tell you about it, but I'm not going to whine. I got a plaque out there. I was made an honorary Navajo. They said if you've got 8 cars or more broken down in your yard, you may be a Navajo. I qualified for Navajoness. They're about to take away my certified degree of Indian blood. All my cars are running except one. I leave that one not running to feel more Navajo. God gives gifts to those to whom He calls. The gifts of God equip His man to do His will. The gifts of God are not dependent on human talents. There was a boy at a church in San Angelo I worked with. His name was Chris. He was the wrong kind of bus worker. Brother Todd, he didn't, you know, we're supposed to be enthusiastic. Hey, come. He would knock on the door like this.
Would you like to come to church?
Boy had a personality of paint. More exciting watching grass grow. Had the largest bus route. Had over 100 coming every week. One day we're sitting in church. Chris was sitting in the back. The invitation was given. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. He walks out in the aisle. And this thing got out of the pew. I think it was human. Guy was about 6'8", weighed about 300 pounds. Followed Chris down the aisle. I thought he was going to eat Chris. Followed him down to the altar. Chris looked at him, not kidding, looked at him and said, got saved. I'll tell you something. Kid did everything wrong. Didn't do it the way we said. You ought to have your enthusiasm. You ought to do this. You ought to have this program. But God took that boy because he was surrendered and willing to do His will. And He took a boy that couldn't succeed and made him succeed. And God got all the glory from it. By the way, God used you too. Gifts of God are in accord with the Word of God. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Therefore, men have a grave responsibility in handling them properly. The call of God is discerned by the ear of faith. You say, Brother Mark, how do I know if God's called me? You listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You spend time in fasting and prayer, and God will direct you. God gave me a verse, Isaiah 35:6, where it says, in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And God used that verse to call me to the desert of Navajo country to bring Him the stream of this book. Hey, if God can speak to me, God can speak to you. The call of God is available to any believer. The call to go is the highest calling of God. 4 needs. There's the need to look. There's the need to pray. There's the need to send. There's the need to go. There is not one Christian under the sound of my voice who can't do all 4. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. I want to ask you a question tonight. I know we're talking about faith promise, we're talking about increasing our giving, but I want to ask you this question. I want you to hear me tonight. Listen carefully. Just between you and me. Would you be honest? I just want to pray for you. I won't call out your name, wouldn't embarrass you. Would you be honest with me? Maybe some young person. Or maybe some older person. It doesn't really matter the age, but maybe there's someone in here tonight that says, Preacher, Brother Mark, God has been dealing with my heart about surrendering to the mission field. I'm not saying you know where you're going to go. I'm not saying that you're necessarily sure that you called. I'm just saying, you say, Brother Mark, God has been dealing with my heart about this issue of going. Would you let me pray for you, please? Would you just raise your hand? Raise it right up. God, you thank you. Someone else, thank you. Just be honest. God's been dealing with my heart. Young person, what about you? Say, Brother Mark, I got my plans. You know what? God may not change your plans, but are you willing to let Him change your plans? Brother Mark, I'm praying about it. I'm thinking about it. God's been touching my heart. Anyone else? Folks, there's four things tonight. If you haven't looked, you need to look. If you haven't been praying, you need to pray. If you haven't been sending, if you haven't been involved in the missions program of this church, or maybe you've been involved, you said, I'm just going to have to cut back. It's not time to cut back. It's time to cut loose and let God work with us. Or maybe God's dealing with you to go. Lord Jesus, I'm not even sure how to give this invitation, Lord, but you know. So, Father, I pray that someone needs to come tonight. Lord, maybe they need to come to Brother Todd or preacher or one of the workers and say, you know what, God's dealing with my heart. Lord, I know in a church this size, because of the emphasis we have at Trinity Baptist Church on missions, I know you're dealing with someone about going. Father, it may be that you're dealing with each of us about each individual need for missions. Lord, I ask that you do the work tonight that only you can. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand together. If you need to come, if you need to come and just do business with God, you come to an old-fashioned altar, do it. But if you've got a decision that you need to make public, don't be a coward, don't be afraid. You come. Talk to the preacher, talk to one of these workers. Would you come? Come on.